Rushing the night like a shark, babe, would it be bad?
To Peanut Butter and Jams with hosts Brenda and Jordy on CITR 101.9, exploring local music and local food. Tune in to learn about the best eats and tunes from your neighborhood. And a weekly pairing for your date calendar. Warning, the endorsements and criticism expressed during the show are the opinions of the hosts, unless clearly identified as advertising. Put in your earbuds and fire up your taste buds. It's Peanut Butter and Jams. You're listening to Peanut Butter and Jams with hosts Brenda and Jordy.
Oops, still working out the details of that. It wasn't supposed to start again. Hi, this is Jordy, and this is...
Brenda.
And you are listening to Peanut Butter and Jams. We are sorry, it is not It Ain't Easy Being Green. It's a new show that we are still working out the kinks of, but...
We're in the demo stage.
Yeah, that was Melanie Coles doing our intro, who also is a... artist about town.
She's also a CITR programmer and does a show on Tuesday mornings.
That's right. What's her show called?
I think she is also in the demo process and picking a name for her show.
All right. Well, thank you, Melanie, for doing that. So we are going to be doing a show, as she said, about local food, local music, and Brenda. But we should say a little bit about ourselves first. I am a former music journalist, and I've been doing a little bit more food writing these days. Brenda and I both love food, and so we wanted to talk about it a little bit more in our lives. So this is why we wanted to start up this show. Did we have a question that we wanted to ask?
Yeah. On the topic of food, Jordy, I was wondering what you had for breakfast this morning.
I had the leftover cereal from a cereal eating contest, apple cinnamon Cheerios with milk.
A cereal eating contest?
Yes. So me and my girlfriend Darcy we bought a whole bunch of cereal so we could use up 4 liters of milk really quickly, because we wanted to buy a 4-liter jug of milk so that we could use it to make an earthquake preparing kit. So we were like, how are we going to get through all this milk so quickly? Let's have a cereal eating contest. I won, and now I'm eating her cereal.
And this was a two-person contest.
It was a two-person contest.
Wow.
It went over the course of days. It wasn't like we just powered through a whole bunch all at once.
This is my question was way better than I anticipated. I didn't expect such an exciting answer.
What did you have for breakfast, Brenda?
Oh, goodness. Well, today I had a really long phone call that surprised me in the morning, and then I rushed off to work, so I grabbed a cinnamon bun downstairs.
So you had no breakfast? You had a cinnamon bun.
I had a cinnamon bun. It is my latest addiction, and I do just want to point out that any food that we rave about on this show is purely opinion, and it's us talking about the food that we love. So, yes, downstairs
at Blue Chip.
Yep. They have amazing cinnamon buns. We were not paid for this endorsement.
I don't think we have to say that every time.
I know. I just think it's funny. Perfect. So just to be clear, our show is about local food and local music, and there's no necessarily obvious tie between the two. It's just a mix of spoken word and talk and things that are happening in your local neighborhood. So
should we give them a preview of what's going to be on this show?
I think we should.
So we're going to have lots of songs for you guys to listen to. We're also going to be visiting La Taqueria. We have a correspondent who visited Salmon and Bannock.
We've got a live interview scheduled of Sprouts, which is...
Hopefully they will be arriving soon. If not, it might get pushed a little bit later in the show. We've got a pairing for you, and we've got...
Lots of local bands to play.
We got one coming up right now. Is it Dirty Beaches that we should put on next?
I think it's time for Dirty Beaches.
All right, I'm going to put on some Dirty Beaches. This is called Sty Eye, and it's off of his new 7-inch.
Oh, trip.
Welcome back. You are still listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and that was Weed from Vancouver. And if you happen to be in the Seattle or Portland area, they will be playing on November 4th and 5th. If you're in Vancouver, they are from Vancouver, so they'll probably play here again soon, even though they don't have anything scheduled right now. We've got some people in the studio with us from Sprouts. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Well, I'm James. I'm the president of Sprouts.
And I'm Elise. I'm the coordinator for Sprouts Box.
Great. And Brenda, did you have any questions you wanted to ask them?
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit, what is Sprouts?
Well, Sprouts is a student club here at UBC, and we run a cafe and grocery store in the southeast corner in the basement of the sub. And our goal is to promote food security here on campus and in different places around the world. So we have various projects that promote food security.
Great. And how long has Sprouts been around?
In its current form, since January 2008. But Sprouts has had a long, long history at UBC in various different names and stages. And then it goes back to the mid-1990s. But in its current form, since January 2008.
That's great. So what do you guys do on campus? What sort of things are going on?
Well, we operate a cafe that sells usually produce that's local in season and organic produce, as well as we have soups, vegan soups made of that produce, as well as baked goods that are baked on campus.
Right.
And other kind of supplies that are usually fair trade, as local as we can get, or organic.
Do you guys bake all that stuff and make it yourselves?
We bake the breads and the baked goods, and we make the soup on campus as well.
Where do you get the ingredients for it?
It depends. We have some produce distributors, local organic produce distributors, but we also get some from the UBC farm, as well as some from the orchard garden.
Oh, great. So it's both, you guys are all friends then, orchard garden and the farm. And
we're basically one big happy family.
Yeah.
So what is your connection to the farm?
Well, we like to support a lot of their initiatives. We were definitely present at Farm Aid this year. We usually sell, if they have produce for us to sell, we'll sell it. And also I run an initiative called the Sprouts Box, which is local and seasonal organic vegetables delivered at your door by bike on campus. And we order from the farm as well as the orchard garden, but a lot from the farm as well.
So anyone on campus can order that?
Yeah, it's done for this semester, but in January we'll be taking more orders for that.
Okay, and if someone wanted to do that, how would they find out about it?
They could ask at Sprouts, or they could email me at sproutsbox@ubcsprouts.ca.
And how does someone find Sprouts?
It's in the southeast corner.
The southeast corner in the basement of the sub.
Near Travel Cuts and the Wellness Center.
Yeah.
You guys nailed that.
Can you tell me a bit about your Community Eats program? Like, why? What is it and why do you do it?
I'm actually the past director of that. We basically, what it is we take produce that would be thrown out. So it usually have like a blemish, or the package is open, or it's perfect, it's just excess produce. We take it from a distributor, so it's donated to us, and we cook it up, and we serve it. It's a vegan meal on campus every Friday, and the purpose of it is to reduce food waste, but also provide a healthy meal for students on campus. So it's usually a full meal, like we'll have a brown rice, and there'll be beans and everything. Yeah, it's happening right now.
And we serve to people who bring a reusable container. So if you have a reusable container and a fork, you can head down to Sprouts right now if you're on campus.
Yeah, and it's also to encourage people to bring their own containers, because once you get in the habit of thinking, oh, well, I need a container for Community Eats, ideally you'll be thinking, oh, I should bring a container with me all the time, because then you're reducing food waste, like package waste, when you're eating out.
That's smart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a lot of the other food outlets in the sub and on campus will serve you if you bring your own container.
Yeah. A lot of places just around town, too.
That, too.
Yeah.
And Community Eats is free.
It's by donation.
By donation.
We have to pay for spices and for oil and for beans and rice. It's donation, then sometimes we'll take donations for other causes, depending on what they are.
Fantastic. So if you're hungry, you should go downstairs right now. There's probably a huge lineup. I've seen them all the way down the hall.
I have seen crazy lineups.
There's lots of food today, though. Go for it.
There's no worries of running out. If people went down now, they could still get something.
Oh, they'll be fine. Yeah. Probably until like 3.
Oh, really? Oh, great.
There's lots.
Great.
And who does all the cooking, and where do you get your recipes?
Well, it depends. For Sprouts itself, we actually have coordinators who cook in the kitchen, and they get the recipes online, or we have a recipe book, I believe, for access. And then for Community Eats, it's actually the director and the assistant directors, and usually it's kind of by the seat of your pants, because you don't really know what you're going to get until the Thursday, basically, and then you just kind of throw it all together. So it depends.
So it's kind of like a stone soup.
Kind of. You kind of go, oh, that would be good in the soup, and then you kind of go from there.
And everyone who volunteered, we're all volunteer run, so even the kitchen managers, all of us, we're all volunteers ourselves, so it's a really great place if you want to give back on campus. You can come and volunteer. The kitchens
always need more hands in the kitchen.
Yeah, especially, Sunday afternoons, Tuesday evenings, and Thursday evenings. So.
Yes.
And where is this kitchen? Where do you cook up your fantastic food?
It's the AMS Catering Kitchen right next to the deli in the basement. Okay. Do you know what corner that is?
Towards the north.
You guys didn't practice
this. Yeah.
We share it with the AMS Catering Kitchen here in this sub, but in the new sub we'll have our own kitchen.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah,
thank you for having us.
You.
And we'll just go into a song right now. This is Pleasure Cruise.
It's okay, I don't care why you're here with me. We both know rendezvous only temporary. Nights prolong, days decay. Could be with someone new. I don't mind, cause tonight I'm not through with you.
October is sure to be a busy month at the Biltmore. On October 6th, catch bands Hollow Moon, The Bleeding Hearts, and Pineapple, a supergroup featuring members of the SSRIs, Portage in the Main, and Prairie Cat. October 21st, jam out with Daydream Vacation, indie rocker Zeus, and local favorites Sun Wizard. For fans of the New Pornographers, you won't want to miss band member Catherine Calder and special guest Anime Bell on October 27th. To round out your month, October 29th brings the band Nurses all the way up from Portland to share the stage with Dominant Legs.
For more information on these and other shows, including how to get tickets, visit BiltmoreCabaret.com.
So thanks to the Biltmore, but that was just before that. That was Weeds, and I thought that those people from Sprouts were really great. They were very nice and very informative. Am I just a quiet talker?
I think you are a quiet talker.
I might be a quiet talker. Okay. Well, we're messing with the levels right now. It's all we shouldn't even be talking about. It's tech speak. If you have any feedback about our show, any suggestions, any things you want us to cover or to cover less or more of, you can send us an email at peanutbutterandjamsradio@gmail.com. When we do have a show, we will take all your suggestions. If we have a show, we will take all your suggestions and run with that. And with a grain of salt, I mean, don't make unreasonable suggestions. Don't tell us to do a cotton candy eating contest.
That sounds pretty exciting.
I don't want to eat that much cotton candy.
We don't. Do you like volunteers?
Oh, actually, that's a good point. We should just get a bunch of volunteers to eat cotton candy for us. Okay, so you can suggest that.
If you want, we will accept
a cotton candy contest suggestion.
Be prepared to volunteer.
But no, like glass eating contest. We will not do that.
No, it must be healthy. Sorry, not healthy
like cotton candy.
Digestible. Yes. So Weed is a local band from Vancouver.
Yeah, we already talked about Weed, but Pleasure Cruise was what we just played.
Oh, yeah, Pleasure Cruise.
Which is another local band, which is fronted by Jody Glenham, who you may have heard from her solo work. But I really like what she's doing in Pleasure Cruise, even more than her solo stuff. The band is backed by Quinn O'Mori, who has been a longtime Vancouver music journalist and a friend of mine. We might even have him on the show at some point because he owns a deep fryer, and I'm interested in getting him to talk about that. Dustin Bromley from Adjective, who is the drummer. And then there's a guy who plays bass, whose name I don't know, but he's new in town. He's from Victoria.
Seems
really nice.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, thank you,
Jordy. I don't know. I've never actually spoken to him, but he seemed nice on stage when I saw him playing bass. I was like, that's a nice bass player.
Bass players are usually nice.
That's true. They are usually the nicest member of the band. Less ego.
True. Anyways, we digress. Moving on to our next track. We're going to play the song Vacation by Real Boys. Real Boys is actually a semi-finalist in Shindig.
That's right. If you are in Vancouver, you should be doing nothing on Tuesdays except for going to Shindig, unless you maybe have like a wedding or family function. It's your only excuses.
So in a couple of weeks, Real Boys will be playing, actually battling against Tyrant Horse.
Oh, who we played last time on our first demo.
Exactly. So you should definitely come check them out. Real Boys is made up of a bunch of different members, including someone from You Say Party, someone from GSTS, and someone from Ono Yoko. And the band Ono Yoko is actually playing tonight at the Biltmore Cabaret with the Parlor Tones and Scattered Trees. So if you need to see some bands, you can go see them tonight.
Yeah, Biltmore's a great venue. Yeah.
Yes, they are. And so with no more further ado, I will press play on this track.
All right, press play. All right, I think we... Hey, I'm sorry about the little bit of my voice coming in on that song. That is because we are about to play a review of, or it's an interview that I did with Darcy Broach, my lovely girlfriend, who reviewed Salmon and Bannock for us. She is not a professional food critic, but that is not a qualification for being one of our correspondents. We want people who are interested in food and willing to talk about it. And we don't want to be snobby about who can be a correspondent on our show. Brenda, have you ever been to Salmon and Bannock?
I haven't.
It is, well, why don't we just play the interview?
Sounds great.
Okay.
Okay.
So I am Jordy from Peanut Butter and Jams, and I am sitting here with Darcy Broach. And who are you?
I'm Darcy. I'm your girlfriend.
That's right. She is. She's great.
Thanks.
And I'm here to interview her about a restaurant that we went to recently. You are also a correspondent of Peanut Butter and Jams now.
Cool.
What restaurant did you go to?
We went to Salmon and Bannock, which is recently a kind of new restaurant just on Broadway and Alder.
What type of a restaurant is Salmon and Bannock?
Okay. Well, it's a native-style restaurant with, I guess, food that's supposed to be inspired from native diets and of this area.
So what type of food is that?
Local. What we had, which was local, was salmon, obviously, and bannock, which I assume was made from local ingredients. Mm-hmm. And we had other fish products, which I believe were all caught locally as well.
Right. How would you describe the bannock there?
The bannock was quite good. I would say that it was more of, it was made in kind of a biscuit style, not very dense, but...
For those of our listeners who don't know, what is bannock?
Bannock is a type of, I would say, a type of bread product that's kind of most similarly associated with a biscuit. I'm not actually sure what it's made of, but it's...
But it's kind of like a
floury type bread product, yeah.
Does it end up tasting like a biscuit?
Yeah, it's quite buttery, and it's a little more moist than most bread products that you would have.
Okay. And what did you get there while you were there?
I got the salmon burger, which had a bannock bun, which was...
Salmon and bannock.
Yes, exactly. which was very tasty. It was very moist because of the bannock bun. And, yeah, not too heavy because of the salmon as well.
Okay. And anything else?
Yeah, well, on that burger, there was actually caper mayo, which was very delicious. And along with the burger came, I think it was sweet potato fries. Now, the great thing about those were that they weren't fried, they were baked. Mm. So they tasted a little lighter and more roasted flavor and not as greasy.
Was there anything on the menu that you would like to try if you went back?
Yeah, I believe there was a bison. I'm not sure if it was a bison burger or just a bison steak, but I've always kind of been interested in trying bison, so I definitely wanted to try that.
So you've never eaten bison before?
I have never eaten bison
before. You will have to eat bison sometime.
Yes, yeah. I would love to try that. we also got a starter before the meal, which was really good. It was a tasting plate of various seafood things that they had on the menu. So there was a clam cake, which was more of just, you couldn't really taste the clam, but it was good. There was a salmon mousse, which was delicious, as well as a smoked salmon, I think.
It was a candied
salmon? Candied salmon.
This entire time I've been pretending I wasn't there to let her talk about it more.
Such
I was
jerk.
There. I could fill you guys in on some things.
And what was the other thing? Was it muskox?
It was a muskox prosciutto,
yeah,
I think.
Which was really good. That was one of my favorite things, too.
Yeah, that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the jig is up. I have to let them know.
I think so.
Well, is there anything else that you would say about the restaurant that was great? Or bad?
The atmosphere was nice. It was very quiet. There weren't a lot of people in there.
No waits.
Yeah. that was great. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just kind of a nice, like, intimate, quiet, dim lighted atmosphere. The service was really great. I thought that our waitress was very friendly, and she seemed to know a lot. She seemed really interested as well in telling us about all the items, which mm-hmm. I personally really liked.
I personally thought the service was great. I lost my phone there, and they found it and called immediately.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. The price range was decent when you think of it actually being like a gourmet restaurant. More than I was expecting, but once I tried the food, I was willing to pay that.
Would you recommend people go there?
I would definitely recommend people
go
there.
Who should they take?
It would be a great place for a first date. It would also be a great place to take your parents, because, you know, if your parents aren't really that adventurous in eating, it's very safe.
So
there's
saying
nothing.
We should take your parents?
We could take my parents,
would
except that
it?
My dad doesn't eat seafood. He can have the bannock.
He could eat the bannock. Or a bison burger.
Oh, the bison burger,
does
exactly.
Does he eat bison?
He would, maybe. We'll just not tell him it's bison.
Can't he read?
We'll order for him.
Well, thank you very much for doing
no
this
problem.
Review. And we'll get you on the show again in the future.
Sounds great. Can't wait.
It's your 75-cent coffee fix in the sub. It's your source for reasonably priced, creatively named stew and vegan brownies.
It's your purveyor of bicycle-delivered local produce.
It's also a place where volunteers can realize their vision of responsible business and where like-minded students can explore UBC's food systems.
Hark! Sprouts is currently accepting applications for next year's executive board and is encouraging ambitious, creative, and disciplined students from all faculties and year levels to apply.
Come by Sprouts in the sub-basement to learn more about our projects and how to get involved.
I tried to kick the ball, but my tinny flew right off. I'm red as a beet, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
And that was a PSA about Sprouts, the people that we heard from earlier in the show.
Very nice of them to come up when they have so many people in line right now. So just before that, we played a song by Real Estate, who will be playing on Tuesday, November 8th at the Biltmore with Big Troubles. We're not going to talk too much about them because we want to talk about La Taqueria. But if you like their song, Tuesday, November 8th, oh, that's a shindig night, actually. I don't know. Well, we'll allow it. Just this once, you can go to something that's not shindig. So, Brenda.
Yes, Jordy.
We went to La Taqueria, but before we went to La Taqueria, we did a little bit of homework just so we would know what we were getting into. La Taqueria is all about tacos. What have you learned about tacos?
Well, Jordy, tacos have been around for a very long time. They were an indigenous Mexican a dish before the Europeans even hit North America. For how many thousands and thousands of years, tacos did exist. The interesting thing that I found was that the first written record of a taco was by, and it please excuse my pronunciation, but Bernal Diaz del Castillo was a conquistador, and he wrote an eyewitness account about the conquest of Mexico by the Spaniards, and not that we believe in conquesting here today, but he did write an account.
But we do like tacos.
Of a taco feast, and that was the first written record.
Warts and all.
Yeah,
warts and all. Look at tacos.
Exactly. So the taco has a conflicted history, but they're still pretty, pretty tasty.
What makes a taco a taco? Like, is it, like, anything wrapped in a corn? Is it, like, does it have to be corn? Does it have...
They can be corn or wheat tortillas.
Yeah.
They're round, and then there's some sort of filling. And the filling can vary. There's all sorts of different names of different kinds of fillings. Spiced, usually, not just plain, sort of, like, spiced toppings. That could be fish or meat or beans, any of these things. So you have your round tortilla that you put your filling in, you eat it with your fingers.
Oh, so that's a requirement. It's got to be hand food.
Yeah, no forks and knives here.
Okay, so once you get into that territory, it's like a chimichanga or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then I did learn as well, very exciting, that I never liked Mexican food until I actually had real Mexican food, because like fake Tex-Mex spices on beef in that hard, crispy taco are not Mexican food, and that was.
I do like that, but really? I guess you don't have to like it.
I really didn't like it as a child.
Okay.
And,
oh man, I loved it. I look forward to taco nights, especially with the hard shell. I preferred the hard shell until
they're
much
so
later
impractical.
In life. I know, but they have such a nice texture, such a fake texture. That's sometimes fake things just taste good.
I don't know. It's like eating a piece of plastic, and then as soon as you bite in, the whole thing falls apart and lands all on your lap. It's just I don't know. I don't know who thought this was a good idea, but that is a Canadian American thing that happened sort of in the mid 20th century. The hard taco shell.
Okay.
That was in the deep fryer, like your friend Quinn has.
Yes.
Yes. So So Jordy. Tell us about La Taqueria.
Okay, so La Taqueria was, I remember his name. was started by Marcelo Romero. I was really worried that I'd forgotten. I put a lot of effort into remembering that one fact. Who is originally from Mexico, moved to BC, and he started working at Go Fish, which, if you know, is a fish and chips stand near Granville Island, which is probably my favorite fish and chips stand. It's very, very good.
It's really, really good.
We might do something more on Go Fish in the future, so I won't get into too much detail. But if you want fish and chips, go down there. There, while he was working there, he met someone named Andre, whose last name I don't know, who he started a new restaurant with, which was a French restaurant. Le Faux...
Bourgeois.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Brenda. My pronunciation of that word is really bad.
At Fraser and 15th.
Yeah, which is an excellent restaurant. Is still very successful. Often has lines and long waits to get in. But he sold his shares in that, Marcelo did, and then used that money to start La Taqueria, which he opened the first location at Hastings near Victory Square, or on Hastings near Victory Square. It's a little taco shop. It's still there. And he has recently expanded to Cambie location, too. What La Taqueria does is makes pinche tacos, which is a style of taco that would be made by... Or like it's something you could buy on the like from street vendors in Mexico, but they make really high quality ones, not very expensively, with good quality ingredients. They try to source most of their stuff locally. Their shells. Are they called shells? You're the taco expert.
The tortillas
are made locally. they try to source most of their meat locally. There's meat. They have vegan. Also, and vegetarian options, wide variety of things. We went down there and we tried some of the tacos. Which ones did we get?
Yeah, oddly enough, we ordered separately and ended up with the exact same tacos.
Great minds.
Yes, think alike. But we had the tacos carnitas, which was a pork filling.
Mm-hmm, pork confit.
The pescado.
Which was a white fish with a pico de gallo sauce, which I thought, like, because of there, I was like, oh, pico de gallo must be some sort of creamy sauce. I looked up pico de gallo for this show to learn about it, and pico de gallo is normally just like that kind of fresh salsa that you get at Mexican restaurants, the tomato onion stuff, but they do their own take on it, which is a little bit creamier, just to go with that pescado taco, and it's delicious. It was my favorite.
It was very good.
Yeah.
We also had the de picadillo, which was the ground tofu.
Yes. Surprisingly, it was a little bit sweet. Mm-hmm. I put a spicy salsa on that, and I thought that worked really well. They have a variety of salsas that you can choose from.
Different levels of hot sauce.
Yeah, you can go from the verde, which is a very mild one, to the habanero, which is a knock your pants off one. Is that a saying? Knock your socks off.
Yeah, socks. And then the frijoles, charros con queso.
Frijoles?
Frijoles? Yes, we'll work on our pronunciation for next show.
If we do any more, we might not do Mexican food next show.
Yeah, we're bound to run into some bad pronunciation regardless.
We do our best.
Yes, we do. And that is cowboy beans.
Yeah, which is just refried beans with cheese. It's really straightforward. $2. Can't go wrong. Yeah.
So who would you take to La Taqueria?
I would go by myself, even. Like, if I was just in a rush. Their food was really quick, really good. I would go with friends if I was, like, going, like, before something. But we didn't have a lot of time. Like, you were going to maybe, I don't know, a sporting event?
Yeah, it's really classy and comfortable, but not pretentious in any way. Good, quick food, but still really nice atmosphere. Yeah.
There is a bit of a wait, but usually like the line's like two to five minutes, and once you order, it's usually maybe like 5 to 8 minutes for your food, and you can eat it pretty quick. You can even walk out the door with it if you need to.
We also tried horchata water.
Oh yes,
which was fantastic. This kind of
Oh, you've got a screen up to tell us more information about it.
I do.
It's like a spiced water that feels like it feels milky, but it's, I don't think it has milk in it. Does it have milk in it?
Some kinds might have. Originally in Spain, they used tiger nuts, and there's sort of a little, like, it sort of tastes like a rice pudding, but it's water. There's,
that's
a
what little it tastes like.
Edge
it tastes
of cinnamon and rice, but it's not.
Totally worth the extra money, even if you normally would just get water. Get the horchata water. It's great, and I don't think you can get it anywhere else in town, or at least not that I know of.
And it's got just like the faintest kick at the back of your throat. It was super nice.
Mm-hmm. Very smooth. Mix well with brandy.
So, anything else you want to add about La Taqueria, Jordi?
I don't know. Do we want to do ratings? Thumbs ups?
We were thinking about that. I would definitely give it a thumbs up.
If we could be the Yao and Grunau.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. If you think we should do ratings or not do ratings, send us an email. peanutbutterandjamsradio@gmail.com. Everything is spelled the way it's supposed to be spelled, so there's no Zs on the jams or anything like that.
Nice. Well, La Taqueria, Cambie and Broadway. We're going to move into a PSA, and then we'll give you our pairing for the week.
All right.
Wish Media Awareness a happy birthday. The 10th anniversary of Media Democracy Days Vancouver will run from November 11th to 13th. Media Democracy Days Vancouver will bring you free panel discussions, production workshops, and film screenings that will have you questioning the Canadian media landscape. All events are free to the public, but seating is limited and registration is encouraged. Complete programming details are available online at www.mediademocracydays.org. Yay! Tuesday, November 8th, Timber presents Holy Ghost at the Fortune Sound Club. This dance music duo from New York City are on tour to support their debut self-titled release, Holy Ghost. Tickets are available online at ticketweb.ca, as well as at Red Cat, Scratch, Beat Street, High Life, and Ditch Records. Don't miss Holy Ghost at the Fortune Sound Club, Tuesday, November 8th. Holy Ghost is brought to you by Timber and proudly sponsored by CITR.
You have to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Where else can you see Hollywood blockbusters, midnight cult classics, indie films, live music, burlesque, stand-up comedy, poetry slams, and live sporting events all at your local theater? The Rio Theater, voted number one in East Vancouver, your neighborhood indie theater that promotes all things cool.
On October 15th, come out to Chad Van Galen live in concert. The Rum Diary will run October 28th through the 31st. And don't forget about all the great Halloween-themed movies that run at midnight each Friday night.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
For more information, visit riotheatre.ca.
Oh, every man, woman, child that you could ever see for miles around, you got to run. You could ever see for miles around. You got to run, run, run. Oh, every man, woman, child. You could ever see for miles around. You got to run, run, run.
This is how I love to.
Hi. Who was that, Brenda?
That was Friendly Rich and the Lollipop People Orchestra.
And so that relates to our pairing, doesn't it?
It does.
So that was his song, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, from his album, The Sacred Prune of Remembrance. But what does that have to do with our pairing today?
Well, Friendly Rich is actually playing tonight at the Western Front at 8 p.m., and unfortunately, my life is a little too busy tonight to fit that in, but I've seen Friendly Rich several times when I used to live in Toronto. He's from Mississauga, and I really, really regret not being able to go tonight. He is an amazing performer, and he comes with a little orchestra, and he's foul and kind of in a cabaret style, and you don't want to sit up at the front because you'll get yelled at and heckled, but it's always a really great show.
Or maybe you do want to sit at the front if you like getting yelled at.